The following audio is from Delta Church in Springfield, Illinois. Our purpose is to proclaim the gospel through the church to a world that needs Jesus Christ. We pray this sermon will aid and encourage your daily walk with Jesus. For more information about Delta, you can visit us online at deltachurch.net.
Our scripture passage today is Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Please stand with me as I read God's word. Beginning in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Well, hopefully you've been seeing on Slack that today starts a little special three-part series where we're going to be aiming the sermons at the little ones of our congregation. And so whether you're a toddler all the way up to a teenager, What we're going to be doing over the next couple weeks is looking at these verses that we just read. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to concentrate on that first command where you, even as a little one, you can walk in obedience to Jesus by obeying the command there that he gives in verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God. So the sermon title today is Love God. And the main idea for our text is there right there in verse 37 where it says, I can love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. And so if you have your sermon note-keeping journals with you, you got your new pens today, so hopefully you're able to grab one of those as well. I know there's a coloring sheet that was passed out to you for verse 37, but this is what we're going to talk about today, about how you as little ones can walk in obedience to this good news command from Jesus. And the main idea is this, I can love God. Well, how can you love God? You can love God with all of your heart, you can love God with all your soul, and you can love God with all of your mind. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into our sermon, and we're going to see what Jesus has to teach us this morning, okay? So let's pray. Father, would you move in power and might? Would you help me to make these words as I seek to explain them, would you use me as an instrument to help make sense of these words? Ultimately, though, Holy Spirit, we know that we need you, and so that's what I'm asking. Holy Spirit, would you help right now so that you would open our eyes to see Jesus? Holy Spirit, would you open our minds to understand these words on this page? Jesus, it's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen. So little ones, raise your hand here. If you're like nest age kiddos or herd age kiddos, raise your hands. How many do we got here? Stick them up high. Come on. There you go. Raise them up. How many of you are maybe youth group age? Keep your hands up. Raise them up in the air. So Justice, come on, buddy. I see you back there. There you go. All right. Jocelyn, don't be shy. You can put your hand up in the air. All right. So we're starting out today's sermon series, and this series starting today over the next couple of days or next couple of weeks, it's geared towards you guys. As your pastor, what I want to do is I want to serve you. I want to encourage you to keep pursuing and loving Jesus. And in doing this, really what we're doing is we're encouraging our whole Jesus family to pursue and to keep loving Jesus. Sometimes maybe as a little one, as a child, toddler, teenager, somewhere in between, you might just wonder, man, like, do I bring any value to the church that I'm a part of? I seem maybe too young. Maybe if I were older, I could bring some kind of value to our Jesus family. But what you need to know is by you being here, by you worshiping with us at church on Sunday, you bring a lot of encouragement to your Jesus family by just sitting in here, by paying attention, by singing songs, by praying with your Jesus family, by taking notes and listening to the Word of God preached. And so what I want you to do is to know that this sermon series is my way as your pastor of being able to hopefully encourage you to keep pursuing and loving Jesus. Because you too, even as a child, even as a toddler, as a middle schooler, as a teenager, what you need to know is this. It is possible for you to glorify God with your life. It is possible for you to love God with all that you are. And it is possible for you to be able to enjoy your God forever, even as a kiddo where you're at. So this is what we're going to learn as we turn into Matthew chapter 22. So here's my encouragement. If you've got a copy of the scripture, I'm going to encourage you little ones to open your Bible. Maybe ask mom, maybe ask dad, ask grandma, grandpa, open your Bible. And I want you to open it up to Matthew chapter 22. Get the help of a parent, grandparent, if you need help there. Open your Bible, Matthew chapter 22. And what we're going to see is this very truth about what it looks like for you to be able to love God with all that you are, okay? So here's what I want you to think about. Raise your hand if you have ever read a good story and you're like, man, there's a certain story that maybe mom and dad, they read a story to me and it's like, I absolutely just love this story. It's got a great character, a great setting. So raise your hand in the air if you've ever read a phenomenal story, okay? Yeah, we've all got one. So what's great about good stories is that good stories have a setting. This means there's people in that story. Those people live in a place. That place is colorful. It's alive. The author uses words to help us make sense of the story. They have words that the characters speak with one another so that they can share the things that matter to them. They have relationships that they have. So for instance, maybe one of your favorite stories that mom and dad have read to you is a story about a pirate. He sails the ocean with all of his other scallywag friends. And what they're doing is they're pursuing a great treasure. And so there's a setting to that story. Or maybe you have a favorite story about a princess who serves her kingdom well. She falls in love. Her and her prince save the day. Settings like these help us make sense of a story, and really what you need to know is that anytime you read your Bible always has a setting. And that's what Matthew, the author of this story, gives us when you look at your Bible starting in verse 34. So if you look in the Bible starting in verse 34, notice how Matthew, the author of these words in front of us, he gives us the setting. And here's the setting, here's the background. Matthew writes, verse 34, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. So the setting of the story, Jesus is just about to tell us, little ones, that it is possible to love God with all that we are, all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the question is, what led Jesus to even say that truth? Is there a background? And the background is that Jesus is on the very end of a long day where people have been asking him a lot of questions. And it's actually been a lot of the religious leaders who've been asking Jesus questions in order to trip him up, to trap him, and try to make Jesus look foolish. But what the religious leaders are learning is that the more they try to trap Jesus, to their great surprise, they keep failing every time because Jesus keeps answering their hard, testing questions with great, great answers. And so it's sort of like this. Imagine if the religious leaders are all standing around in a circle. Jesus maybe is standing over here on the side. And these religious leaders are all talking to themselves and like, okay, we've got like one more chance, one more opportunity to try to test Jesus and see if we can get him to sound foolish and then maybe give us a reason to get rid of Jesus. And so with time running out, the religious leaders sense, man, we've got to ask him a good question. We've got time for one more question. So one of the lawyers, and when it says they're a lawyer, what they're talking about is like a Bible teacher, a Bible expert, someone who knows their Bible very, very well. He comes along. And what he says, he does, is he speaks up and says, here's the question I want to ask Jesus. And so you see in verse 36, there is this question. This Bible expert He looks at Jesus and calls Jesus teacher. And he says, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" The word law is just a way to refer to all of the writings, those first five books of the of your Bible. And there was a lot of laws, commandments that God had given. And so this Bible teacher comes to Jesus and says, out of all those laws, can you shrink it down to one? Can you help us out? I really want to know what it looks like to honor God. And so what you need to know is that sometimes there's good tests and sometimes there are bad tests. So far, all the religious leaders have been trying to give bad tests because their tests were in an attempt to make Jesus look foolish. But the book of Mark reveals to us that this question on the lips of this Bible teacher was actually a good test. Because Mark reveals to us that this man is seeking true answers from Jesus. So it's almost like this Bible teacher was standing in the middle, listening to all of his buddies ask Jesus a bunch of questions, and he keeps watching them try to stump Jesus and make Jesus look foolish and look stupid. And then he comes along and says, "Guys, I think there's a better question to ask Jesus." And the idea is that he really wants to know what the answer to this question is. The book of Mark reveals that this question was actually a good test. This Bible teacher asks Jesus a clarifying question that he believes Jesus can truly answer. And so it made me think of this. I want you to know this. As a little one who's hearing about God, maybe your mom and dad teach you things about God. Maybe you go downstairs to the nest, the flock, and the youth group. I want you to know it is good and it is okay to ask Jesus questions. I want you to know that. Sometimes in life when we're growing up, we just have questions. Things are hard. Things will not always make sense. Things will happen to us that make us go, "I don't know why this happened and what is the right answer?" Sometimes you're just going to be curious. Maybe mom and dad will read something to you during your family worship time and you're just like, "Man, like mom and dad, like I have a question." What I want you to know is this. It is okay and it is always okay for you to talk to Jesus in prayer and to ask him your questions. And that's what we see this religious leader doing. He's like, "I have a question. There is someone who can give me an answer. I'm going right to Jesus." And so the Bible teacher goes to Jesus and asks a question he believes Jesus can answer. Now, here's what the Bible teacher wants to know. When the Bible teacher says, "Jesus, I need you to take all of the Old Testament and give it to me like in a sentence," what he's basically doing is this: "Jesus, will you help me know what God wants from me? But I want my life to count. I want my life to mean something for God. And I want you, Jesus, to show me what it is God wants from me so that my life can count. Because if God does want something from me, Jesus, I want you to know that's the one thing I want to do with my life." And so Jesus answers the Bible teacher like this: "Here is what God wants from you." And it wasn't just for the Bible teacher. If you're here and you're the nest age kiddos, if you're of the flock age kiddos, herd age kiddos, youth group age kiddos, if you were to be the one, if you were to put yourself into the story and imagine you were looking at Jesus' face and said, "Jesus, will you show me what does God want me to do?" Even as a kiddo, Jesus would still give the same answer. The answer is this: you are to love God with all that you have. That's the answer. That is how your life can count. You love God with all that you have. Do you see what Jesus says there in verse 37? Jesus answers this Bible teacher's question like this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." Can you guys say that with me? Love God with all your, what was the first one? All your heart, then with all your soul, and what's the last one? With all your mind. Heart, soul, and mind. You see, little ones, listen, look at Pastor Jonathan here. What you need to know is this: whether you're 5 years old, whether you're 10 years old, whether you're 15 years old, do you know there is something God wants from you? There's something God wants from you. A command that God has given you that God wants you to obey. Because he knows it's good to obey him. And he knows there's a whole lot of life on the back end of obeying this command. It's the command, love God with all that you are. That's a command that God gives to you, and God says you can obey. As a child, you are God's creation. Did you know that God created you? God is your creator. And the greatest thing God created you for is to love God with everything that you have. To love God with everything that you have. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no like, well, can I just love him for like an hour on Sunday when Pastor John is preaching? Or can I just love him on a certain day of the week, maybe when I'm at school? And Jesus says, no. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You're to love God with all that you have all the time. You exist to love God as your best treasure. Do you remember the story that I just referenced a couple minutes ago, about the pirate, right, and all of his scallywag friends who's seeking that treasure? If you've ever read a good pirate story on a good treasure hunting story, what are they doing? They're hunting for a lot of treasure. They want all the coins and the jewels and these sorts of things. But usually, in the really, really good pirate stories, what is it? They're searching for one single treasure. Like that one special jewel that shines above the rest. And they're just like, yeah, I like all the gold, I like all the coins, I like all the silver, but I want to hunt down with my life this one single jewel. What you need to know is Jesus is telling you right now is that God is to be your favorite jewel. God is to be your favorite treasure. And that you can go seeking for and hunting after all the days of your life. He is to be your deepest desire. And Jesus says, loving God as your favorite jewel, your biggest treasure, this is the great and this is the first commandment. This is what God says you can do in your pursuit of him. So the question is, okay, Pastor Jonathan, that sounds great, but how do I do that? Yes, I want to love God even as a kiddo, but how do I love God? It's the good news that Jesus doesn't do this. He goes, I don't know. I'm just telling you, this is what you're supposed to do. I sure hope you can figure it out. Praise God, he does not do that. Because Jesus says, here's how you shall love God. Same with me again. You should love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Jesus is giving you the answer on how you can do that. So here's what we learned first. We've got three little treasures this morning. And the first little treasure is this. You can write this down in your sermon notebooks, your sermon-keeping notebooks. And it's the first one is this. I can love God with all my heart. I can love God with all my heart. So if you guys remember when we first tried to help you out learning what you could do, see that little treasure chest in the bottom left-hand corner? That's not down there by accident because Pastor Jonathan doesn't know how to make a sermon slide, all right? That's down there on purpose because what that's saying is in a sermon, when you sit with moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and your Jesus family, you may not understand all the words that Pastor Jonathan says, but you can understand this. You can understand these little treasures and you can write those down, okay? That's just a reminder for you that this is something, a little treasure that you guys can hunt for and find. And your first little treasure today is this. I can love God with all my heart. So in your Bible, that's what Jesus says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, that's sort of a weird word. Isn't it? Heart? What do you mean, Jesus? I'm supposed to love you with all this right here? The ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Like this beating organ in my chest that pumps blood through my veins. How do I love God with this muscle in my chest? Like, is that what Jesus is saying? Well, you need to know is that's not what Jesus is saying. When Jesus says to you, little ones, that you can love God with all your heart, this is really the Bible way of just saying, listen, love God with your deepest convictions. Love God with your deepest desires. The things that you love, like tippy-top, biggest, best loves, love God with those sorts of loves. You see, when you love something with your heart, you're always thinking about it. You might ask, well, how do I know if I'm loving something with my heart? Well, one of the ways to know you're loving something with your heart is if you're always thinking about it, right? So if you're always thinking about how Bluey is the best TV show that's ever been created in the whole world, you might be loving Bluey with all your heart. Or if you're convinced that you believe mint chocolate chip ice cream is the best dessert that has ever possibly been made, and you feel very strongly about that, you might be loving mint chocolate chip ice cream with all of your heart. Have you guys ever loved something like that where you're like, I am convinced this is the absolute best? Yeah, okay, I see some hands going up. That's you loving something with all your heart. Now, it is not wrong to love these things. It's okay to love Bluey. It's okay to love mint chocolate chip ice cream. But Jesus is saying that love for God is to be the deepest, biggest love that you have. So while you might love Bluey and mint chocolate chip ice cream, these things are to be like way down on the list compared to your first, foremost, biggest, deepest love reserved for God. It's to be the love above all other loves, your love for God. It's the kind of love for God that makes people go, man, when I talk to you, even as a little child, I see something in them. They might love Bluey and mint chocolate chip ice cream, but I see in them that they really do love God. You know what? Of all the things that I know about this little one, this teenager, middle schooler, here's what I know. They love God the most. And Jesus says when others can see that in you, what that's a good indicator of is you are loving God with all your heart. So in your day-to-day life, so here's what I want you to do. Again, if you're a toddler or a teenager, raise your hands. Raise your hands up high. Toddler, teenager, anywhere in between, all right? So here's what I want you to do. Listen to me here. In your day-to-day life, how can you love God with all your heart? What's maybe an example? It might look like this. Maybe you're at school. Maybe you're in your home. Maybe you're at church. Maybe you're talking with mom and dad. Maybe you're talking with your siblings, whatever it could be. Loving God with all your heart can look a lot like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And here's what 1 Corinthians 10, 31 says. Whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So what this means is maybe today you go home. Maybe today your mom and dad say, we're going to have pizza tonight for supper. And so maybe you're going to sit down and you're going to eat a piece of pizza. And maybe you're going to have a special drink. Maybe you have a drink of soda or maybe a special other drink that mom and dad make. What the Bible is saying here is in that moment, even you as a little one can take a bite of that piece of pizza and go, God, thank you for this food. This makes me love you a lot. And in that moment, what Jesus says, what you're doing is you're loving God in the way you were created to love God. You're loving God with all your heart right there in that moment. A heart that loves God best, a heart that loves God the biggest, says, this is what I want to do. I want to, whether I'm eating bacon in the morning, drinking orange juice with my bacon, or whether I'm going to school, or whether I'm playing sports, or whether I'm dancing in recital, or whether I'm talking to my neighbors, or whether I'm talking to my siblings, whatever I do, like, I really want others to see Jesus in me. Jesus says, in that moment, you're loving God with all your heart. You can do this with the power of Jesus in you, okay? Second treasure that Jesus says is this. I can love God with all my soul. So we have all of my what? Heart. And now we have all my soul. All right? Jesus says that. Verse 37 again. Jesus says to the Bible teacher, here is the answer to what God wants for you. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. So what you need to know is that's sort of a different kind of word. All right? So when we talk about loving God with all of our heart, it's like, okay, maybe I understand that. But when you start to talk about with all my soul, like what's the Bible even saying here? Well, what you need to know is quite often when the Bible talks about your soul, it's just talking about who you are as a person, your personality, what makes you unique, the way that you feel and your personality and your emotions. And we all understand this, don't we? So maybe you're talking to your friends and you tell a certain joke to your friend because you know your friend will laugh at this certain kind of joke. Why do you do that? Because you just know, quote, that's the way they are, end quote. They just like these kind of jokes. Well, when you think that way, what you're doing is recognizing this person and the way God made them, what the Bible would call their soul, is a unique thing. It makes them stand out as different from others around them. And what you need to know is that when God created you in your mother's womb, He made you very unique. Not only in the way you look, but also in the way you act, in the ways that you feel, your personalities, your emotions. And so what Jesus is saying here to you when He says, don't just love God with all of your heart, but also love God with all of your soul. What Jesus is teaching is that even with the way you are and the way that you feel in your emotions, you are to love God with all that you have. You can even love God with your feelings. You can love God with your emotions. You can love God with your personality and the way God has created you. You can love God in this way even as a child. For instance, one of the biggest emotions that you might often feel is the emotion of love. Have you ever loved something before as a little one? Raise your hand, toddler or teenager. If you've loved something before, raise your hand. Yes, okay. We've experienced this emotion before. Part of the ability of our soul is to be able to express love for things. So when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your soul, this means that you can love God with your soul in this way by guarding your heart to make sure you love the things that God loves. And your Bible is full of that. For instance, in Psalm 119, verse 97, the psalmist talks about having a right love for the Word of God. So one of the ways that you can love God with all of your soul is to say, God, I want to love what you love. And God says, well, it is right to love my words to you. And so that is one way that you can love God. The Bible would also say it is right for you to love God with all your soul by loving those whom God loves. So if you go to somewhere like 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, you see that we are called to like others who love God. So what that means is in your home, your mom and dad, your siblings, at church on Sunday, you are surrounded by people who love God. And it is right for you to say, God, I want to love what you love. And so you learn to love those who also love God. But what this also means is you can love God with all your soul by hating what God hates as well. For instance, in Psalm 97, verse 10, we see the psalmist saying that it is good and right to hate evil. Because evil is the opposite of God. And to say, God, I want to love what you love also means, God, I want to learn how to hate what you hate. God hates sin. God hates evil. And we can ask God, God, would you help me to love you with my soul in these ways? These are just a few ways that you can obey God by learning how to love Him with all your soul. Third, love God with all your what? Mind. I can love God with all my mind. So little treasure one, love God with all your heart. Little treasure number two, I can love God with all my soul. Little treasure number three, I can love God with all my mind. Out of the heart, soul, and mind, this one here with the mind might be the easiest one to understand. All of us here have a mind. We can think. We go to school. We learn. We grow in wisdom. We grow in intelligence. We learn how things work. Learning is one of the ways that our minds grow. And so what Jesus says that to love the Lord God with all your mind is to learn to love God even with your thinking. It's to learn to love God with the way that you grow and mature by reading his word, listening to preaching, talking to mom and dad during family worship time. Here's what I want you to know. The way that you think and the stuff that you think about, it really matters to God. Now, why do I say that? The stuff that you think about and the ways that you think, why does this matter to God? Because, look at me here, the temptation is to believe this. My thinking is just inside my head. If I think about things that maybe may not be okay with God, like I'm not hurting anyone. Does God really matter if I just think about things in my head? I'm never going to act on them. I'll just keep them inside my head and just think on them there. What Jesus is teaching us is it really does matter what we think about. It really does matter on what you think. All of this matters to God. So maybe as a kiddo, you have found yourself thinking things that surprise you. And you wonder, where did that thought come from? Like maybe you're just minding your own business and this thought just comes into your mind and it sort of shocks you. You're like, wow, like this, I don't think God is pleased with this thought. Like where in the world did that thought come from? Or maybe it's a little bit less of a surprise thought that comes into your mind. Maybe it's an on-purpose thought. Because your brother or your sister just did that thing to you, and now you're looking at them in the face, and you're like, man, this isn't a surprise thought right now. This is an on-purpose thought. I do not like you. And we think this thought, and then we say words, and we take certain actions. It's an on-purpose thought that you found yourself thinking bad things or mean things towards your brother or sister. Did you know this? That even as a little one, you have an enemy. Did you guys know this? And his enemy, his name is Satan. And Satan will do whatever he can to tempt you to believe that God doesn't care what you think about. That's what Satan wants you to think. He wants you to think, I can think whatever I want to in my head. It's okay. Nobody's ever going to know about it. It's just going to be between me, myself, and I. Satan wants you to believe God thinks, I don't care what they think about. But that's not true. Satan does not want you to love God with all your mind. Instead, Satan wants you to set your mind on anything else and everything else but God. He would be very happy if you just lived your life growing up as a little one, 5, 10, 15 years old, and just drawing the conclusion, I don't know that God cares about what I think about. Satan would be very happy if that were the case. So, like a great warrior fighting on an ancient battlefield. So put yourself into that story. We're on an ancient battlefield. We have an ancient enemy in front of us, and now you are the warrior. And you're on that battlefield. But what you don't do on a battlefield is lay down your weapons. What you do on the battlefield is you say, we are going to fight, and we are going to capture the enemy. And we're going to do what we can to make sure that the enemy does not win right now. If you can imagine that story in your mind right now, like a great warrior fighting on an ancient battlefield, you are to fight sin in your mind like that ancient warrior. You're to be a sin fighter, even in your mind, recognizing, man, God really cares what I think about. Did you know that the Apostle Paul actually uses language like this in the New Testament to encourage you and me? When he wrote to the Christians in Corinth, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Do you hear the ancient warrior language there when it says take captive? So what that means is when you're sitting there and your little sister or your little brother just did something to you that you don't like, and then your mind begins to go, well, I know a certain word or a certain phrase that I could say that would really hurt them right now. Or you begin to think with your mind, man, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and shove them to the ground because I don't want them to know that they, or I want them to know they just did something to me that I don't like. What Paul is saying is in that moment, God can help you become like an ancient warrior to go, okay, I just had that thought. Now, what am I going to do with that thought? What I can do is by God's power is take that thought captive, like put it in handcuffs, and I'm going to lead that thought to the foot of Jesus, and I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm going to make this thought be obedient and submit to you, because here's what I know. I know I just had this thought, but I know this thought does not bring you glory. This thought is not going to help me to love God. And so I'm going to capture that thought before it even goes out of my mouth or goes out with my hands, and I'm going to make it submit and be obedient to Jesus. What Paul is saying is this is how you can love God with all your mind, by fixing your thoughts on that which is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. You can do this as a little one. Like, you don't have to wait until, like, you're a teenager. You don't have to wait until you're an adult or married or like a big kid or anything like that. You can do this now as a kiddo. So let's do this. Let's zoom out. And when we put all this together, these three things, love God with your what? Heart, soul, and mind. Jesus says, smush these together. And here's what I'm saying to you. I just want you to love God with all you got. I want you to love God with all you got. Love God with every part of who you are. You don't have to wait to be a big kid or wait to be an adult to obey this great and first commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You can do this now, and you can do this starting today. But listen, what I'm about to say is very important. Listen. And I say that you can do this now starting today, not because you're just a really awesome kiddo who can go out and do really awesome things. I'm telling you that you can go out and start to love God in this way because of the way that God has already first loved you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what Pastor Jonathan is saying? I'm not saying, now go out, kiddos, and like in your own strength, I'm going to love God today. Like, right, or don't go do that. You can love God today. Jesus isn't lying to you, but he's saying you can't go do this in your own strength. The way that you're going to be able to love God first is because God has first loved you. And the way that God has first loved you is that he has loved you first by sending Jesus his son. You see, little ones, the Bible clearly says that we are able to love God because God first loved us. And the way God first loved you is that he sent his son Jesus to the cross to be the wrath-absorbing sacrifice for your sins. The cross is the proof of God's love for you. Do you guys know that we have a cross over here on the side of the stage here? Do you guys see this right here? This isn't just because we needed some decoration to fill up the stage so it looks a little less empty and a little bit more full. Do you know why we have a cross up here on this stage? This cross is here to remind you every Sunday when we gather, this is how much God loves you. God sent his son so that his son would live, die, resurrect from the dead, defeating Satan, defeating sin, and defeating death, so that we would come and look at the cross and go, wow, God loves me this much? Then it makes a whole lot of sense for me to give my life to that God and to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what Jesus is teaching us here in this moment. The Father sent Jesus because he loved you and me enough to do so. Because God so loved the world, he gave us his only Son. And God shows his love for us in that even while you were still a sinner, Christ Jesus died for you. You see, little ones, it is good and right to obey the great commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But here's the thing. Obeying this command will never be enough to make you right with God, because there is going to be a time when you fail to love God the way you were designed to love God. None of us can love God perfectly. Show of hands, this is for the adults too, adult participation time. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, If you have failed at loving God perfectly, raise your hand. Yeah. Look around, little ones. Keep your hands up. Everyone, little ones, look around. Teens, toddlers. We have failed to love God perfectly. But you know what? All of those hands that were just up, if you went and you talked to any of those adults with their hands up, here's what they would tell you. I, even Pastor Jonathan, have failed to love God perfectly, but that is why I need Jesus. That is why I need Jesus. And that's what I want you to know. You need Jesus. Pastor Jonathan needs Jesus. We need Jesus to save us. It's because he alone is the one who loved God perfectly with his heart, his soul, and his mind. And because he did that, that stands as the proof for why he could go to the cross and die for your sin of not loving God in the way you're created to, so that his rightness with God could be given to you, and then you could be made right with God. Amen? All right, let's pray. Jesus, would you help these little ones to hear? Would you help these little ones to see? Would you help them to respond to these good things? Lord, would you help? We need your help to love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Would you please do this, Father, for your glory? But in the midst of me praying this, Lord, what I think I would pray right alongside that, or maybe even above that, is in the pursuit of walking in obedience to this command, would you help these little ones to see, man, the only way I'm going to be able to do that is if Jesus is my Savior. And so would you bring these little ones to see and draw the conclusion, man, I need Jesus to save me from my sin so that I can be made right with God. Holy Spirit, would you do this? It's in your name, for your glory, I pray these things, O God. Amen.